The world around us is changing rapidly. Fundraisers and nonprofit marketers like you have to be flexible and innovative to continue to overcome the challenges you face. We're Pursuant, and we're here to provide you with the tools, insights, and strategies you need to get you where you want to go. You're tuned in to the Pursuant Listening Experience. Today's leading nonprofit organizations choose Pursuant for their marketing and fundraising needs. As a full-service agency with decades of practical experience working within the nonprofit space, we develop strategies and stories that move donors to action through direct mail, digital, and experiential channels. If you are inspired by donor loyalty and committed to getting better results, visit Pursuant.com. For years, we've been hearing that the world around us was changing rapidly, and that as nonprofit leaders, we needed to keep up. But nothing could have prepared us for the changes we navigated in 2020, or the lightning speed with which those changes were upon us. With 2020 and the first half of 2021 now in the rearview mirror, we decided to take a minute to reflect so that together we can create a sustainable future of greater loyalty and generosity. Today, we'll listen to a conversation between Pursuant Executive Vice President Kelly Stewart and Nonprofit Pro President and Publisher Chris Lyons as they discuss the predictions shared last December in Nonprofit Pro's 40 Nonprofit Trends for 2021.
Well, Kelly, I'm so excited for this. You know, one of the things that we did when we started the Nonprofit Pro Trends, the 40 top trends a couple of years ago, was try to figure out who are the best and the brightest minds in the industry and bring them into this specific area of research that gave a great view into the minds of what's happening in the market. So for 2021, you were one of 8 industry experts featured in a Nonprofit Pro's 40 Nonprofit Trends. And as we approach the halfway mark of the year, we thought it would be fun to look back at, you know, some of those predictions that you made. Specifically, we looked at 4 areas: meeting donors where they are, building relationships with donors, recurring giving, and a focus on experiences. So looking back to see what is actually sticking, what's actually true still today, what may need to be adjusted and what's new, do you agree with these trends still?
Well, it's fun to get to do this with you, Chris. It's too often that we put these things out there and we sort of let them sit. So the opportunity to stop and take stock on what we thought was going to be the case versus what actually is a welcome conversation. You know, I would say that some of these things probably are close to what we expected, and some have thrown us an additional curveball. I think the trend that I'm seeing more than anything is that none of this stuff is really specific to 2020. A lot, I think, has sort of been caged in the context of COVID and what we navigated with all of the pivoting over the last year and a half. But if I really slow down and look further back, I think a lot of these have been emerging trends for many years. Perhaps COVID and the experiences that followed really just have illuminated what were the realities all along.
Gotcha. So in 2020, you offered 7 predictions at the end of the year. How many of those do you feel have truly come to light?
That's a tough one. You know, I would say that probably less than rather than more of the predictions that I had really thought through as we were closing out 2020. I would say there are probably only 4 that I'm seeing pretty consistently in the work that I get to do with Pursuant's clients and just my general conversations with industry leaders across the nonprofit sector. If I could highlight the 4, I would say we're definitely seeing that people are continuing to try something new. we were forced in 2020 to try a lot that was new. But I think it created an openness. And I think in the coming months, we'll probably see even more of it as people begin to reengage in ways that were more familiar in a pre-COVID environment. I think it's going to be interesting really to see what organizations consider to be new as we move forward versus what is sort of now what has often been referred to as the new normal versus, you know, where people try to revert back to things that had existed a year or two or more ago. So I hope that they make these decisions based on results that they've seen, because I happen to subscribe to a philosophy that's driven by data above all else. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that comes to light. I think another one that I'm seeing a lot of and I celebrate all day long is a real commitment to that concept of relationship-based fundraising. Certainly not new, certainly not something that was born from COVID. You know, I think Pursuant worked with the Rogari Group, 5 or 6 years ago to publish the initial research that demonstrated that, you know, when you use a relationship-based approach to fundraising, candidly, you drive a better experience and engage better generosity. So I think that will and has continued. The one change that I'm seeing there is I think annual fund leaders actually are doing a lot more to engage in different ways, you know, not just using direct mail, not just using digital, which is obviously important and fairly traditional, but I heard a lot of annual fund leaders picking up the phone and calling donors, something that historically had probably been considered more of a major gift approach, but we had some new opportunities in the last 18 months. And I think it expanded our view of how we can create great relationships. I don't know. I really hope that will stick, because I think there's a lot of good to be brought forward into the future through that. Let's see. The third one I'm probably seeing is an embracing of diverse new platforms. Technology is constantly evolving. Don't need to tell anyone that. But the options are becoming more and more accessible and candidly more and more affordable. I think that's a bit of probably a blessing and a curse. Managing a tech stack, transferring from one tech platform to another, creating buy-in and training is a burden for many organizational leaders. But at the same time, when you are able to do it and decipher which ones were really built to drive the outcomes that your organization needs, man, it is so exciting to see our industry finally benefit from something that I think we had coveted the commercial and for-profit sector for many years. So I think as long as we can sort of make a distinction between what may be called a shiny object and what really is going to add meaningful value to our efforts and our programs, I think continuing to engage and utilize diverse platforms is going to be something pretty exciting. The last one I would say that I'm probably seeing is this concept around experience and community. You know, there was so much isolation over the last year, and it forced people to come together in new ways. And how many great stories have we heard of people who've reconnected or groups that previously hadn't spent time together that were now doing regular Zoom meetings? I loved all those stories on a personal level. And I think professionally, you know, I've been a remote employee my whole career. And so it was lovely for more people to embrace video conferencing and things of that nature over the last year. You know, if we take that to our donors, I think what we've really done is watch people engage more authentically through virtual channels. And it doesn't always have to be in person to have that really beautiful connection and strength. So while I'm very excited to be in person with people again, I'm a people person. So for me, that's a fun part that I've missed. I do hope we'll continue to see some of these emerging and really creative ways that people found to connect stick with us as we move forward.
That's terrific. So you had 7 and you hit 4 of the 7, you know, right on the dot. And that's pretty good. So if you were like a professional baseball player, you know, 4 out of 7 hits at the plate, you'd be the best baseball player in the history of the game. So that's pretty good. But there are 3 other predictions that you missed. So can you share a little bit about those and why you think they may not have come out as you expected?
Happy to. And by the way, also happy to be called a skilled baseball player, even if it's only an analogy. Proof there is a first time for everything. Definitely not a terrible score. And I would say, you know, probably not consistent across all organizations, but certainly a trend line that I think there's a lot to celebrate around for the industry and beyond. I would say there are probably three that I'm not seeing in the way I would have expected. And I'm an eternal optimist, so I'm going to still hold out hope that they're coming soon to an organization near me. You know, the first is responding to change. And that may surprise people because obviously we all responded to a lot of change last year. But I really am sort of surprised at that. What I'm almost seeing is like a dissonance between the excitement of something new and the comfort of something that's old and familiar. You know, I think this year stretched us in such a quick and aggressive way that some people really do seem to be wanting to revert back to things that just aren't quite so exhausting, for lack of a better word, because of their newness. So I don't know. I think, excuse me, the jury's still out on whether or not some of those old strategies and processes and norms that have been foundational to the way an organization did its work will be something that come back as we sort of re-enter into some of the more traditional ways of engaging, or whether people will really stop and take a minute to think about what has changed in their organizations, what's worked, why it's worked, and what's worth keeping. I really hope that we will focus a little bit less on getting back to something and that we'll focus more on becoming something, which likely will be a blend of who we were, who we are today, and what we think we can become in the future. The other one is the one that continues to confuse me in our industry, which is the sense of collaboration. You know, we are not an industry that does a lot of M&A. There's a lot of what I think our donors consider to be duplication in our missions and in our efforts. And I think internally, there are still a lot of the proverbial silos that exist within teams. You know, I think the one I get talked to the most about is probably the one between marketing and development within an organization. And so I think there were some really great collaborations that have happened over 2020. I would have sort of hoped that more would have stuck. I actually ended up with Pursuant starting a platform called Getting Curious that you can find from the website where I sort of shared some of these musings. But I did it really actually to facilitate more collaboration and to inspire people to have conversation with one another. So, you know, I may be oversimplifying it, but I feel like, you know, I consumed a lot of Brené Brown and I just finished reading Adam Grant's Think Again, such an extraordinary book if people haven't read it. I'd love to think that with more effort and more focus, we can continue or maintain and protect some of the collaboration we had in the early days, because I think it's really an important part of our work. And I think we'll be more successful when we do, both internally and externally. Let's see, the last one that did not really come to fruition, at least not yet, as much as I had hoped or thought, was measurement. And this one probably deserves a little explanation, because we certainly measure quite a bit in the industry. And I know leaders are working tirelessly to create reports and dashboards for their boards and their senior leadership and their teams and their donors. I think what I really mean here is more about what we're measuring. Are we looking at measurement in a way that is truly mapped to keeping our eye on the proverbial prize that stands before us as it relates to our goals and our desires and our vision for the future? When I meet with new leaders that are kicking off something, either a new program or a new partnership, oftentimes when we're bringing on a new direct mail or a new digital partner, we receive all the reports from their program prior to us providing those services. And they're great reports, but they're often just reports and data. They don't have the sort of bigger picture. You know, they're very siloed, or they lack the insights around the sort of like, okay, here's the data, but where's the so what, now what? And that's something that I really find to be an important part of the work that I do, the work that Pursuant does, and I think is something that I continue to encourage organizations, regardless of who they're working with, to spend more time focusing on not just delivering reports, but what reports are you creating? Why are you creating them? And what is the expectation of changed behavior as a result of what they state? And so two quick ones, I would say that I'm still not seeing great adoption around that I really hope we'll see more of. One is indirect reporting, particularly between direct mail and digital, two really interdependent channels that I just think there's incredible value when you look at them in their collective form, even if they're being led by different vendors or even if they aren't necessarily fully integrated from an execution perspective. The second one is the donor coverage ratio. I'm still sort of impressed by or amazed by how many people don't know what a donor coverage ratio is. Quick definition, it's really the formula for the leaky bucket concept. Are you bringing in as many or more donors than you are losing or reactivating in a given year? A healthy donor coverage ratio, the first metric you want to start out to meet is 100%. And then once you've hit 100%, you can dig a little deeper. But aren't doing indirect reporting, if you aren't looking at your donor coverage ratio, I sure hope you will. And no need to wait until 2022. There's a lot of important work to be done in the second half of this year.
As the industry's go-to source for management and strategy thought leadership, Nonprofit Pro was developed for nonprofit leaders and innovators. With a fresh look and quick hard-hitting content, our magazine, website, and daily e-newsletter, Nonprofit Pro Today, covers topics ranging from human resources and volunteer management to technology, tax, and legal matters. And of course, industry-relevant news and fundraising. Nonprofit Pro is the source for modern nonprofit professionals.
You know, when I listen to you explain those three areas where there is a miss, makes me think that there may be a challenge for nonprofits in terms of putting together a true strategic plan and almost a playbook. Some of the things that did hit in the four areas that you mentioned, those four areas really were things that people could do almost ad hoc. Because, you know, being able to try something new or continuously building relationships, those could be a little bit more flexible. But having a playbook, having a strategic plan that could really address the issues around responding to change or greater collaboration for either your volunteers or your contributors or your board members. And then, of course, measuring everything that you do and having a way of looking at that. It really is quite interesting. I do have another question because there were other industry experts that were part of this program this year, the research on the top 40 trends. And as you listened to those folks and read about what they viewed as some of the trends, were there any other experts out there that stood out to you?
A great question. First of all, I love this piece that Nonprofit Pro does each year. So thank you for putting it together. I'm a voracious reader of lots of content from Nonprofit Pro. I think there is so much goodness in the content that you put out, but this one is really one of my favorites. To answer your question, there were a couple comments from Alicia LaFrac of the Gabriel Group that I thought were really interesting. She shared some great insights on the direct marketing channels and some of the shifts that are taking place. She made one quote at some point that was something about, you know, not just developing a multi-channel campaign to reach donors, but having to work harder to get on the radar of a donor. And I think what she's speaking to there is sort of the noise that we're all working to fight through. And she's spot on. I really think that's something that we're going to have to continue to think about as an industry. More volume can't be the answer, or we're all going to, you know, have an avalanche of content. So I would say, you know, in the work that I do with the clients at Pursuant, we definitely see significant, you know, generosity and a higher return when clients are executing multi-channel campaigns that have some flavor and connection between them. So I'm a big proponent of, you know, her speaking out to that. And I also just really think her comment around not just doing more volume, but paying attention to how you get on their radar and how those channels interact is something that's really consistent with what I've seen in our work as well. She also made a couple of great comments about unrestricted gifts. That's another important topic that I think was getting more time and attention in probably 2019, the beginning of the year. But I thought there were some really interesting insights she shared there about how we think about unrestricted gifts, the growth we're seeing in it, you know, certainly paying attention to how we convert new COVID donors, which many organizations celebrated in 2020. How do we sort of take them across that line, right, of a COVID restricted gift into an unrestricted gift in support of that same organization and a broader, more compressed, more comprehensive mission? Let's see, who else? Micah Fink really stuck out at me as well. First of all, I love that he's with Heroes and Horses, such a special org that probably not enough people know about. You know, he touched on the onslaught of the new relationships, which I think is a big one. You know, our clients saw a huge increase in acquisition, quite frankly, in revenue. And it was not limited to hospitals. A lot of folks that I've talked to have shared a sort of expectation that the acquisition growth was more specific to human services like Feeding America or hospitals and healthcare. But I think many organizations benefited and saw from just a desire for people to do good in the world during a difficult time. So I think that is really going to be something that folks are going to have to address and respond to thoughtfully. And Micah raises an interesting point about that. He also spoke to some trends in the digital space. And while he spoke about it in terms of an org chart, I do think that there's some broader implications, just really about in the way we show up for our donors and our employees and our partners. There is a lot to explore as it relates to digital. It's no longer just email. It's no longer just, you know, a website. I think there really are some incredible layers to how you think about digital in today's day and age. And I hope folks will sort of take a minute to get curious about it. I also really connected with his perspective on keeping things relevant. So those are two that jumped out at me, but it was a great group that you assimilated for that piece. And I really appreciated being part of it.
Well, we appreciated you being part of it too. And for both Alicia and for Micah, one of the things that you referenced was touch points and communications and how to stand out in the crowd, essentially. And it puts me to mind of, you know, the marketing touches that marketing and communication touches that people have on a daily basis. There was a study done not that long ago that indicated that there's about 5,000 communication and marketing touches that happen per day to an average consumer. And when you think about that, how do you make sure that your voice is heard in an authentic way, in a powerful way, and in a way that makes people take action? And it's such a critical part for nonprofits to think about because they have that very unique position with their communities who are tied to their missions. And when they do have that opportunity for that connection point to make it as strong and deep and powerful and lasting as possible so that when that message comes again or a different message comes out, the engagement stays there. So thank you for bringing those two folks up. So now that we've looked back, is there any last thing that you would like to add as you look into the future and let's say the next 6 months of 2021?
That's a great question. I'm not going to lie. I have thought about this a fair amount. There is something about the milestone of I have kids, so the end of school year and the start of summer and sort of looking to the fall that has really made me stop and imagine what I think we might start to experience over the next few months. I think truthfully, in some ways, it might be more complicated. There was a real clarity when COVID hit. And I think a lot of people, organizations, and just as humans went into a little bit of survival mode. Folks were head down and they were really clearly prioritizing what needed to be done. You know, if you are a parent, you were probably dealing with how to educate your children. If you were at a hospital, you were dealing with how to keep your staff safe. you know, if you were a fundraiser, you were thinking about how you were going to adjust your messaging to an unprecedented moment in our history. So with that sort of urgency and intensity did come some focus and clarity that I don't think we'll necessarily have in the coming months. I think decisions probably won't feel as clear. They're probably going to be a little bit more interdependent on some other things that may be outside of your control. I know a lot of folks I talk to right now are debating and struggling with the decisions around how to open reoffices, if they reopen reoffices, if they hire remote, if they don't hire remote. And while that's not necessarily specific to donors, I think it's really indicative of the complexity of decision-making in the coming months. So, you know, I think one of the predictions that I probably didn't cover is the one that I probably hope most for, which is, you know, there was just an extraordinary amount of grace that people offered one another over the last year. And everything from the barking dog in the background to the toddler who unexpectedly needed to join a conference call to folks needing to have a flexible work schedule in order to accommodate things that were happening. I think people were really in a position where their guard came down a little bit. And we all engaged more authentically than maybe we would have or historically had. And I hope that grace continues with each other as colleagues. I also really hope we extend it to our donors. I think that sort of the veneer can soften and we can trust and have vulnerability with one another, because I believe that our missions and our work is really going to be better for doing it. So grace and trust and vulnerability, I think, are things that we'll benefit from in the next few months and beyond. And I hope we see a lot of it. So that's probably my prediction.
Yeah. Well, that's a great one. And it's, I think, so true. There was so much grace and empathy and caring and outpouring of individuals on the donor side, on the volunteer side, to really help people that were in a lot of challenging situations, both as individuals or as families or communities or whatever. It was very heartening to see that the amount of contributions during 2020 went through the roof. You know, it was a 10% gain to $471 billion of contributions last year. And that just reflected, I think, the monetary representation of that empathy and the grace that you spoke of so nicely. And that is, I hope, will continue to be the case, and that we continue to see more giving, more grace, more empathy over the course of time, not just this second half of the year, but for ongoing. But so, Kelly, I wanted to thank you so much for collaborating on the original piece and for revisiting it with me today. And we look forward to seeing what organizations bring to life in the next 6 months and beyond, especially what you and your team at Pursuant will be doing. It's going to be quite fun to watch. So thank you again.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. This conversation was really fun, and I was thrilled to be part of it originally. This was a double unexpected surprise, so I'm excited to revisit it. And, you know, just to end on the note that you distilled there with some great metrics, congratulations to everybody who has worked their tails off, and thank you to the donors who have just demonstrated the true joy of giving. So much generosity in the last year, both in people's emotions and time, and certainly in the way they gave as well. And I think there is a lot to be proud of and a lot to celebrate in that. So thank you to you and the Nonprofit Pro for the work you guys do to put out so much great content. And thanks to our leaders across the country for the work they're doing every day, and to the donors for their generosity. We're very lucky to do what we do in the way that we get to do it.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the day, and we will see you in the pages and digital editions of Nonprofit Pro.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chris.